Welcome to Reflections from the Heart, presented by Stewardship, a mission of faith. Reflections from the Heart is an outreach of Gospel Reflection, a family ministry of Stewardship, a mission of faith. For the next 30 minutes, please join us as we break open the bread of life in the Gospel reading for this Sunday's Mass, as we invite the same Holy Spirit who inspired the biblical writers to inspire us today. And now, here is your host with Reflections from the Heart.
Welcome, everyone, to another session of Reflections from the Heart. My name is David Abel. Today, I'm joined by Cameron Norris. Welcome, Cameron.
Thank you. It's an honor.
Awesome, awesome. It's a beautiful day. If everybody take a moment and get their Bibles, we're going to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 20 through 33. But before we break open the bread of life, let me invite the Holy Spirit into our hearts that we can see what we're to see, hear what we're to hear, and then, through the grace of God, put that in action. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, into our hearts and enkindle in our hearts the fire of your love. Holy Spirit, set our hearts ablaze in love that we may exit this room today and exit our homes today and be vessels of your love, mercy, and compassion in the world. Help us to see what we're to see, to hear what we're to hear, and as Jesus did, enflesh that word of God through our actions, our words, and our life's example, that we may be invitations to that eternal banquet. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And Cameron, do you mind giving us a little gospel love this morning?
It would be an honor. Again, we're in John chapter 12, verses 20 through 33. Some Greeks who had come to worship at the Passover feast came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will be my servant. The Father will honor whoever serves me. I am troubled now, yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd there heard it and said it was a thunder, but others said it was an angel had spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come for my sake, but for yours. Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted out from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." He said this, indicating the kind of death he would die. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's fine. It's interesting. You read the first sentence. Some Greeks, these are non-Jewish people.
Right.
Already were getting that draw in their hearts to come worship at the Passover, a Jewish feast.
Right.
So already with Jesus in the world, people were already starting to come. And that's when Jesus says, "Hey, you know what? It's time. My time has come." And when he gives his depiction of his death, you know, when he dies and is risen from the dead, those Greeks represent just part of the world. All humanity is going to be drawn to him.
That's all of humanity.
So when you said that, I'm like, well, that's odd. You know, Greeks coming to worship at Passover doesn't make sense. However, what they want to do? Meet Jesus. And I think it's also important also, as we look at this, when the Greeks went to Philip, Philip didn't say, "Hey, you know what? Just stay here with me. I got some great stuff I can share with you. You know, I'm the rock star when it comes to biblical stories." No, he went and told his brother, Andrew. And then Andrew and Philip went to who? To Jesus. Because all of us in our journey in life, in all we go through, it's meant to take people and introduce them to Jesus through the Word of God. And ask the Holy Spirit how they want to do that. It should never stop with you. And don't ever take the credit when God chooses to use you. My prayer in the morning is always, Lord Jesus, I invite you to live in me, with me, and through me. Holy Spirit, please light our path. And Father, join with us in this great adventure which you created me for. Man, when I pray that prayer, it is amazing how God throughout the day chooses to use me to be that invitation to the eternal banquet. It's like, you know, Bible commands us, pray without ceasing. Well, that's just not moving your lips and saying a bunch of words. That means living every moment from the bedroom to the boardroom for Christ, that he's welcome in the bank meeting, he's welcome in the board of directors meeting, he's welcome in your workplace. You know, I read in the scriptures the other day, it's like, when we do our work, do you realize we should be doing it for an audience of one? The Father. And when I read that, I'm like, oh my goodness, that's it. You know, our job, the gifts we've been given, this creativity that God's given me, it's all meant to bring him honor, glory, and praise. So for me, you know, help me be that vessel that you, Jesus, live in, with, and through all the days of my life.
I love it. And it talks about a grain of wheat falling into the ground. When that process happens, you're talking about a dead seed getting planted in the ground, and the end result is much fruit. I think we all want a life that we can look back and say, there's so much fruit. Do you see the fruit here? Do you see the fruit there? But we have to be careful. We're not the ones to create that fruit. The fruit comes from us relating to this grain of wheat in this, dying to ourselves. And the fruit is a natural byproduct. You put an apple seed into the ground, the apple seed grows into a tree, the tree produces fruit. That's the normal process, but it starts with dying. And that's why it says, whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it. We have to be careful. This is not just about you. This is not about me, I guess I'll say. I'll turn the script. This isn't about me and myself and let me tell you how great I am and I did this and I did that. We're called to live a life of yielded obedience. If he's asking us to be one place or another, I think what we have to check our hearts with is, did I hear his voice and was I obedient? And I think that's the pursuit of our life. I want to hear his voice for my marriage. I want to hear his voice for being a father to my kids. I want to hear his voice for my friendships, for my job, for every facet of who I am. And then I want to be obedient and walk that out and know that he's going to be there with me to walk that out every step of the way. I think the temptation is there. And I think that it's easy to fall into sometimes to say, my life and my life and my life, because sure, who doesn't? It is your life. That, like, there's an element of truth there, but he's telling us right here, whoever loves his life will lose it. It reminds me of the scripture that says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Like, do we look at it that way? Do we look at it as, okay, I want to be commissioned with Christ. I want to be on the mission that he has for me. And the goal is fruit. And fruit, we have to look at it as a byproduct. Fruit isn't something that you don't grab an apple seed in your hand and squeeze it with all your might and say, okay, give me
Bruce
a fruit. Yeah, give me an apple. Yeah. No, you want, it's like the branch abides. He wants us to abide to the vine. In the same way, fruit is going to be a natural byproduct. And the other thing, this is a challenge for all of us. When we look at fruit, don't get mad at an apple tree for not making a lemon. I'm saying that with a smile, but I'm being serious too. Every single piece of fruit, I'm picturing our kitchen counter. We always have like a fruit jar. Our kids love fruit and we love eating fruit. You could pick every different single apple out of there and they're all different. And they might've came from the same tree. They might've came from the same orchard. They might've came from the same farm. I don't know that, but there's no two alike. I think we have to be careful sometimes to not expect for a lemon tree to give us an apple. I think it's a good practice to assess, okay, when I plant this kind of seed, it's probably going to produce this kind of fruit. And then just be open to that. I think take the control off of, okay, I don't know what kind of seed I threw in that ground there, but it better turn into a lemon. It doesn't really work that way. So I think having eyes to see and ears to hear, recognizing, oh, I see why an apple came out of that. I planted an apple tree there.
Well, think about this. Think about Jesus. He did his ministry for 3 years, you know, lived 33, but did 3 years as his ministry, and he died. And since his death and resurrection, billions upon billions of seeds have been produced in people with a ripple effect that is changing this world. You know, I love this this ditty, this expression. One day somebody told me, they said, you know, man, you can count the number of apples on a single tree. We can do that. But only God can count the number of apples in a single seed.
Whoa.
You plant an apple seed in the ground, and it grows a tree that produces apples, that produces seeds, that the seeds produce trees, that produce apples, that produce seeds. That's the life of Jesus Christ, one grain of wheat, one Jesus Christ,
wow,
buried, rose from the dead, and what happened? It's that seed replication in, through, and with us.
Right.
Then you said something about you don't have to die, but you do have to die.
Right.
You do have to die. It's St. Paul's letter to the Galatians is, it's no longer I that live. Well, if he's not living, he's dead internally. It's Christ that lives in me. And that's so important. As we grow in our spirituality, Jesus says, if you want to be a disciple of mine, here's the criteria. You get a big bank account, you live a healthy life, and you got it all made. No, it says you deny yourself. It's not about you.
Right.
It's about, as you put it, self-sacrifice. You deny yourself. You pick up your cross. It's through the cross that we're formed more perfectly into the image and likeness of Christ. And then what? You follow Jesus. And there's a little word that comes after that. Daily. We have a daily choice to die to self, pick up our cross, deny ourselves, and live a life others-centered.
So good. It's so good. And when Jesus makes this comment, whoever serves me must follow me, he's making this comment as he's headed to the cross. He's saying, follow me. And what does every great leader do? He lives it by example. He says, follow me. Exactly what you're saying. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. When I hear this, I think of, sometimes we hear the wrong version, that it might sound nice, it might sit well on our ears, but there's just a little twist to it. And I think one of those twists are, we hear this comment, follow your heart. Just do whatever you think you should be doing. Here, you bring a situation to somebody and they give you the advice. You know what? Just go with your heart. I understand that advice could be coming from a good place, but it's important to go back to Scripture. And Jesus does not say, hey guys, follow your heart. He says, follow me. And there's a difference there. He wants his heart and our heart to be one. So I could see how in a time like that, but the goal is to follow him. And if that means do it exactly the way that I want it done, or if that aligns with the exact way that he wants it done, then that could be a beautiful thing. But he also gives us this example here. He says, what am I supposed to say to the Father? Save me from this? Like, am I supposed to interject my will? Am I supposed to interject the way that I see that this should be, like, exactly what I want to do? No. Jesus says, not my will, but your will be done. And he's doing this. He's saying, follow me. And then he sets this example. Hey, I have this thing in front of me. The Son of Man's about to be crucified. But what am I supposed to say to the Father? Save me? No. So when he says, follow me, He's also giving us that example. When we get into a situation, there are situations that we're going to be put into in our lives where we might want to say, God, save me from this. And God is saying, are you kidding me? I created you for this. Hmm. So I think that's important to be able to recognize. Again, that's being in tune. Holy Spirit, why am I here? Why is this person in my life? Why? And I think of, like, I'll put it simply, like we have young kids, and you know what it's like when you have young kids. Not everything is just absolutely perfect every day. There's homework and there's the things and the things and the things. I feel like there's times where it's like, oh my word, how are we going to get through the day? How are we going to get through the evening? We have gymnastics here, and we have soccer there, and we have baseball there, and they have a project due tomorrow. I just looked at her backpack, and there's a science project that I didn't even know she had, and it's due in 2 days, and it's going to take 20 hours to do. I think those are times where Holy Spirit is talking to us saying, I created you for this. This is a time for you to shine. And I think there's learning lessons from that, but I think there's also times where I just told that story. I don't want to make this comment about that story with my family, but like he doesn't want us to exit that. He wants us to be all in with that. You could relate it to work. You could relate it to other things as well. Just because a challenge hits the door doesn't mean find the easiest, calmest, most convenient exit. Sometimes he says, put your feet into the ground, stand with me, and actually follow me.
Yep. And you know, when we read this, whoever loves his life will lose it. Whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. And I'm like, wait, Father, I'm not getting this. I don't hate my life, so I'm not getting it. I said, please help me break this open. And really, here's how it broke open for me. So we're called to love God with all of our heart. It goes back to that heart posture. And when the Lord wants to be real firm, he uses that word hate in this aspect. So for me, this is not my home. My home is heaven. My 100% heart's desire should be to be reunited with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in heaven, my home. It's my destiny. If I cling to anything of this world and want to keep it and want to be part of it and want to stay, then I have a divided heart. I have a heart that wants to stay in the world.
Right.
And I got a heart that, at the end of my life, I want to go to heaven. And the Lord's like, no. You got to be all in. Your heart's desire, and it's growth. It takes growth in our Christianity. It takes growth in our holiness. You know, God calls us to be perfect, to be holy. So for me, it's a journey that says, you know what? I can certainly appreciate the beauty of creation, my children, my family, everything, aspect of my life, amazing different things that I appreciate. But is my heart truly 100% all in for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for the Father, for eternal home in heaven? Because that, I think, Bible tells us, seek first the kingdom of heaven and all else will be granted unto us. So for me, I need to make sure my heart posture is my desire to be reunited in that eternal exchange of love in heaven. And then, okay, now God, you've given me another day here on earth. Use me for your purpose. Let me be a vessel of your mercy, compassion. Let me be an invitation to the eternal banquet. Use me in the salvation of souls. Boom. Now I think I got that.
Wow. I'm going back to this first sentence that you kind of opened up with. Some Greeks who had come to worship at the Passover feast came to Philip. There's going to be times in our lives where people are going to come to us and they want to worship. I'm thinking of my own life, like when I was younger, I didn't have a full theology in place. I didn't have a full understanding of what the entire Bible was. But I am grateful at the times in my life where I would come and say, I want to sing songs because I love being in this room, and I love, I don't even know how to describe it yet. I love what happens here. It's like the presence of God is in the room. I love that somebody didn't, and I'm sure this has happened, I love that somebody didn't say, hey, you know what? What you need to do is you need to get everything right in your life and then come back, and I'll let you know if you can sit next to me when we sing these songs. I'm so grateful that that person said, hey, you know what? Get in here. Come here. Look, there's a guy at the end of this. His name's Jesus. That's where this is headed to. This Passover feast, this worshiping, this whatever's taking place. Hey, let me get the team together. Let me get you to the place where you're sitting at the footsteps of Jesus. And I think that's important for our in our lives. There's going to be people who come into our lives. We have to be careful not to say, you know what? You're Greek. Let me double check with the people that know more about this. I'm not sure. See, this is actually a Passover feast. This is like our heritage, our history. There's a whole thing. There's all these different...
You're not really part of our club.
Yeah, there's a club. You got to know, you know, do you know the story? Do you understand the importance?
There's a snip, snip here and a snip, snip there. Yeah. You got to be part of this.
Yeah, it's significant. There's meaning to everything. And because you don't know those meanings, I mean, I'm exaggerating this, but I think it's so important. There's going to be Greeks who come to us. And our goal, right back to the point you opened with, our goal is to get them in front of Jesus. And it might be, hey, brother, let me introduce you to my friend. He's looking for this thing. Let's take him to Jesus. I think we just have to be careful not to let somebody who... Hear me, I love the Greeks. I'm just using them as the example in this. Somebody who might not have a full understanding of all of the things, but they're seeking. So my prayer for us, my prayer for you listening, is that you'll have eyes to see when somebody is seeking. And when they're seeking, it's important for us to not get in the way, but to lead them to a place where Jesus is at the end of that road.
You know, I'm just sitting here thinking, you know, loving God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. And I'm thinking, if I had tickets, 50-yard line for the Super Bowl, my favorite team's playing, I'd probably go to that.
Probably.
If I had the opportunity to see the Rolling Stones down front stage, you know, I'd take that up. If I had a chance to do whatever it is, earthly, that's a once in a lifetime.
Right.
I think I'd probably do it.
Yeah.
And yet as Catholics, do we understand that Jesus is present, body, blood, soul, divinity, at every Catholic Mass, every day? And of course, we know Sunday, keep holy the Sabbath, is a Ten Commandment. Do we truly, is our heart's desire to see the Lord? I know I will tell you in my growth in holiness, it only came when I truly, and I'm not perfected in it, put Christ first. Like today, I'm going to go to noon Mass in Lancaster because I didn't get up in time to go and had a meeting at the 8 o'clock or the 8:30 or the 9 o'clock. I've got my Masses lined up. But I'm going to drive to Lancaster because I'm going to go to noon Mass. You know why? Because that's more important than the Super Bowl tickets, than the Rolling Stones concert, than whoever or whatever it is. I'm going to have time to worship Jesus and thank him for the gift of the day and then receive him in the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Have that divine intimacy that the Lord wants with us as brides with the bridegroom. I'm going to have that time with him today at noon. You know what? Since I've put God first that way, since I've chosen, it's amazing the growth in holiness. But we always have excuses. A friend of mine in a Catholic school, I challenged him. I said, may I help you? He said, absolutely. I said, you want to grow in holiness? Oh, I do. I said, do you go to Daily Mass? And he said, I don't have the time. And I said, really? I said, I have 24 hours in my days. How many do you have? Well, yeah. He said, I said, so you're choosing not to. I said, well, let me ask you a question. Do they have daily mass at your school? It's Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw his head drop, he didn't have to answer the question.
Right.
I said, so you have daily mass at your school and you don't have time to go. Nothing more needed to be said. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we have choices. You want to grow in holiness. You want to get closer to the Lord. Put him first. Deny yourself. It's inconvenient for you. Guess what? Get up. Get out of bed. Give the Lord that hour. Prayer time in the morning. Go to Mass and receive him daily. Daily. You have the opportunity. And my goodness, never miss a Sunday. But daily go and watch how God, as you go and you worship, grows you in your holiness.
Yeah, I'll throw this in quick here. What we're talking about is priorities.
Uh-huh.
And when you set priorities,
yep.
Priority can't just be lip service.
Nope.
Priority means I am going to account for time for
yep.
this,
yep.
resources, my energy, my focus. We know what it's like when we have friendships, family, whoever, just taking it back to the natural sense. If somebody says you're a priority, but then you get a text from them once a year on your birthday, it's like, I don't know. You don't really feel it. Even in our close relationships, if you're giving time, resources, and energy to something, that shows that it's a priority. So I think that's the call to action here. God wants to be a priority in our life. And what does that look like? Does something need to change? Is it just a little bit? Or does it need to be just where our heart is? So with that, we say God bless to everybody out there.
Jesus said, boys, can't you give me just 1 hour in the Garden of Gethsemane? And he woke them up. Ladies and gentlemen, give that hour to the Lord every day, your first fruit, and watch your growth. God bless.
Reflections from the Heart has been presented by Stewardship, a Mission of Faith. We hope that you've been blessed and encouraged as you listen to Reflections from the Heart. If so, please consider participating in a Gospel Reflection group. For more information on locations and times of Gospel Reflection groups, or how to start a Gospel Reflection group in your area, and to learn about all of the family of ministries, please visit our website at stewardshipmission.org or call us at 717-367-0100. Stewardship, a Mission of Faith, is a 501c3 nonprofit organization and depends on donations from people like you to make Reflections from the Heart possible. If you've enjoyed this broadcast, please prayerfully consider partnering with us by making a tax-deductible donation by visiting stewardshipmission.org or call us at 717-367-0100. On behalf of all of us at Stewardship, a Mission of Faith, thank you for listening. And until next time, may God bless, protect, and guide you on your journey home to Him.